It's time for the Hour of Power, where numerous churches and ministries in Western Oklahoma come together to produce a program found on the internet at therockchristianmusic.com. If you have a specific prayer request or you would like to share about an answer to prayer in your life, text the word pray to 68683, then share your request. This is your connection to other Christ followers and prayer warriors. Welcome to the Hour of Power.
Got to turn that little button up. Good morning. This is the Hour of Power. I'm Neva Pyatt, your host this morning. Miss Monica's over there running the iPad, and our special guest today, Pastor Delight Dwight Shepherd. Good morning, Pastor.
Good morning.
It's so good to have you. So good to see you.
Yeah, it's been a minute, hasn't it? Or it's 2 weeks.
Yeah, it's been 2 weeks anyway. If you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can post it right on our Facebook page, and about halfway through the program, we'll stop and pray for those needs. Or you can send it to our email, which is hourofpower32@gmail.com. One other way you can send it is to our texting line, which is 580-485-0837. Our Facebook sponsor today is Joshua's Crossing Ministries, and we are so thankful that they have allowed us to have this room for 3 years now, Pastor. That hardly doesn't seem possible.
Wow, time flies, doesn't it?
Time flies and you're having fun. And even if you're not, but it flies. I think I've covered everything. We record in two parts. I'm not sure we're able to get it on our... Are we able to get it? Mona's giving me the thumbs up. We're able to get it over on our website finally. We did have some issues, and it took a little while to get lined out after we got our new hard drive. So we're up and rolling now. So if you have someone that doesn't have Facebook and you want to send them to their website, it's therockchristianmusic.com. Click on the Hour of Power, go to Wednesday, and or send them to Wednesday, and they can hear Pastor Dwight's message. So, Pastor, I think I've covered everything. Will you pray to start us out?
I will. Gracious Heavenly Father, this morning as we come together in this little room, Lord God, we are well aware, Father, that your Holy Spirit is here with us, and that, Father, we are going to, by the grace of your Holy Spirit and the grace of Jesus, reach out from these walls and touch lives with your word today. Father, I pray that you bring people to this program that need to hear what's going to happen. Lord, I have some notes, but I have no idea where you're going to take us because, God, we are fully surrendered to you. We desire your will to be done, whatever you, Lord God, desire to be discussed and talked about in this program. Father, I would say this, that when we come before you with prayer requests here in a little bit, we know that you are already seated on the throne and that Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, is making intercession at your right hand, and that we are going to receive answer to our prayers that are going to break forth grace and miracles in the lives of people. And we thank you for that, Father. We thank you for the privilege of knowing you because you loved us, you sought us out, you gave yourself, Lord Jesus, for us, and in your name, we do this ministry, and in your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Well, I like your topic. Don't leave home without him.
He's better than American Express.
Yeah.
I never even had an American Express card, and I've left home many times. So, you know, their commercials said, hey, don't leave home without it. But the reason why I titled it that is because we're going to open up here this morning in the book of Acts in the first chapter, and if you've ever read the first chapter of the book of Acts, I'm sure you're familiar with the Jesus said, don't leave until you have received. Don't leave until you have received. So it was very important. We're going to pick it up in the book of Acts, first chapter, verse 1, Acts 1. This is written by Luke, the in my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles that he had chosen. After his suffering, in other words, the cross and death, burial, and resurrection, after that, he showed himself to these men, gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, this is a resurrected Jesus. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he began, he gave them this command. He gave them a suggestion?
Mm-mm.
This would be a good idea. Mm-hmm. Maybe you guys ought to try this. No. it was a command. A command. And when Jesus gave a command, it's a command. It's to be followed. It's to be listened to. He gave him a command. Here was the command. He said, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. It's amazing to me in my life of living for the Lord and ministering. I've been in the ministry for approaching 30 years now, and how many times have I mentioned baptism of the Holy Spirit to people, and immediately their minds go, because I said the word baptized, they think about water. This passage of Scripture has nothing whatsoever to do with water baptism. Water baptism is very important. It is the, to me, it's the wedding ceremony showing that we have betrothed ourselves to Jesus and received him as Lord and Savior. It's a public demonstration of our death, burial, and resurrection into Christ. That's why we, you know, immerse in water and we're raised up, and it's very important. But Jesus, in this passage in Acts, he didn't say, I command you don't leave Jerusalem until you've been water baptized again, or whatever. I mean, these guys would have been most likely through Jewish purification rituals, very similar to Christian baptism, but a whole different meaning. They were washing the exterior, when our Christian baptism is symbolic of the fact that Jesus washes the interior.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
Jesus didn't command them to do anything else but here wait for the gift that he had promised. Gift. You need to, not reward. Holy Spirit is not a reward for the super righteous. Holy Spirit is a gift from God our Father, so that we can be righteous. I mean, Jesus makes us righteous by his death, burial, and resurrection, by his precious blood shed on the cross, poured out on the mercy seat of heaven. We are made righteous. The Bible says God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, so that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ. That's 2 Corinthians 5:21. So we are righteous. But how do I live righteous? That's the question. So how do I walk it out? It's one thing to, you know, to say, well, I'm righteous, but I'm not able to actually live like I'm righteous. I live in constant defeat. No, that's not how he wanted it to be. He said, you wait for the gift my Father promised. And then he explained what the gift that he was referring to was. He said, for John baptized with water, but not many days from now, you're going to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Next verse, verse 6. So when they met together, they asked him, he said, Lord, at this time, are you going to restore the kingdom of Israel? It's amazing to me how the disciples wouldn't get their mind off of an earthly kingdom. Throughout the Gospels, you see Jesus trying to get them to understand that his kingdom is not an earth kingdom, but a spiritual kingdom. And here again, even after his resurrection and him commanding them to wait for the Holy Spirit, they still got their minds on, are you going to restore Israel? You know what? Sometimes I think I can be guilty, and maybe you can too, of being so focused on what's going on in our nation around us, or in our community, or our family, or our world around us. We're so caught up in what's going on in the physical realm around us that sometimes we lose sight of the big picture. You know, I was watching some news the other day, Christian news. It was actually CBN. And I was seeing some of the issues that are going on around the world. And it really just stirred me and awakened me to realize, you know, this, what's going on in the realm of the spirit is going on around the globe. It's not just that America's got issues. America's got issues with immorality and things that God disapproves of. It's worldwide. And I believe God wants us to see the big picture. He told those disciples, do not leave Jerusalem. You think about that. These guys had walked with Jesus for 3 years or close to it. They had witnessed Jesus perform every kind of miracle. Even miracles that had never been heard of before. They said no one ever has healed someone from blindness that was born blind. Jesus did. Jesus raised the dead. He walked on the water. He multiplied the loaves and fishes. He touched lepers with his hands, and leprosy left. He made the lame to walk, the blind to see, the deaf to hear. Those who were demonized and couldn't function, he set them free. And they watched this stuff, I mean, just on almost daily basis. John actually writes in his gospel that if all the miracles and things that Jesus did were to be written down, that books couldn't contain it. So what did they actually see? It's like, well, like John said, we couldn't even begin to tell you. And not only did they see these miracles, but I want you to realize that on multiple occasions, Jesus sent these guys out, commissioned them with his authority. Now listen to this. This is something you don't think about. Are you aware that the disciples went out two by two in the name of Jesus, and they actually healed the sick? The disciples healed the sick. They really did. You can read about it in the Gospels. And at one point, Jesus gets 35 team of followers, pairs of two, 70 disciples in all, sends them out, and they heal the sick, cast out devils, all that stuff, and preach the kingdom of God is at hand. And listen, they did every bit of that before the cross. And yet there are many believers in Jesus today who are so far removed from the power of God that they're not even sure that God can do that stuff anymore or will. But Jesus told these disciples, you stay here until you receive the gift. What gift? The gift of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, don't tune me out thinking I'm going to preach Pentecostal to you, because I'm not reading Pentecostal Bible. I'm reading the Bible.
That's right.
And I don't care what my doctrine is. Don't really care what yours is. Let's just look at the Word. Let's just see what the Bible has to say. The Bible says Jesus showed himself alive after his resurrection, after his passion, many, many different times, 40 days. He spoke with them, and on one occasion he said, don't leave Jerusalem until you receive the gift of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He didn't say this. I'm going to just kind of infer this, because you ain't ready. You're not fully equipped. It's like, well, we went out when you were with us. When you sent us, we went out. And he goes, yep. But he goes, now the Holy Spirit needs to come. Watch this. So when they met together, like, Lord, are you going to restore this kingdom to Israel? He said, verse 7, not for you to know the times and the dates the Father has set by his own authority. In other words, don't leave the things of God to God, and you be about what God told you to do. Quit trying to, you know, there are people that spend hours and hours and hours trying to figure out if we're at the end of the world yet. You know, say, well, I'm a student of eschatology. Well, good for you. Good for you. I'm glad there are people that study end time events. That's what eschatology is. I'm glad that people study end time prophecy. I'm glad they do. But I'm going to tell you something. If your focus for studying that is to try to figure out whether you're about to get out of here or not, you miss the whole point. Because the reason why we ought to feel a sense of urgency about end times is not so we can have an escapist mentality, but so that we can win the lost. It is God's will that all men be saved and come to knowledge of the truth. How many know I just quoted you the Bible? God is not willing that anyone should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's Peter, written in the Bible. Jesus, he's echoing Jesus. And Jesus said, don't leave Jerusalem. And I'm going to say it this way, because you're not ready. You're ill-equipped. You're ill-equipped. You're not ready to go out there and do the works and be the men, women, that I want you to be until you've received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He said, it's not for you to know the times, the dates, the Father set in his own authority. Watch this, verse 8. He said, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. You'll receive power, dunamis. You know, Jesus was walking through a crowd one day. He was actually on his way to heal the daughter of a ruler of the synagogue. Jairus had come, and oh, Lord, my little daughter's lying at home at the point of death. Will you come and heal her? Jesus said, yeah, I'll go. And they were going through the crowd, and in the crowd there was a woman who had had an issue of blood for 12 years. You probably know the story. And she had perceived the Holy Spirit. It doesn't say Holy Spirit did, but somehow, I believe it's Holy Spirit, somehow she got this picture in her mind, if I could only touch the tassel of his prayer shawl, the hem of his garment, I know I would be healed. She comes up behind him in the crowd. Everybody's pushing. I mean, and she just touched the tassel of his garment, and instantly Jesus stopped and turned to the disciples and said, "Who touched me?" Mm-hmm. And Peter said this. He goes, "Lord, that you see the crowd, everyone touching you. How can you," he literally said, "how can you ask who touched you?" And Jesus said this. He said, "Someone," I'm going to give you the Greek translation here. He says, "Someone touched me, for I perceive that power went out from me." Virtue, power. Do you know what the Greek word is? Dunamis. You know what the Greek word is right here in Acts? Dunamis. Jesus said, when the Holy Spirit comes, you're going to receive the same power that flows through me to heal the woman who touched the hem of my garment. That there were times where Jesus, the power of God, the virtue of God would flow out of Jesus, healed a multitude of people. I love it when you're reading through the Gospels, like Matthew's Gospel. In the first few chapters, there's multiple healings where it says, and he healed them all, and he healed them all, and he healed them all. It's like, man, that's a lot of power flowing out of one point, which happened to be Jesus, because he was completely and fully surrendered and completely filled with the Holy Spirit. Jesus' life was not compartmentalized. He wasn't a part-time Christian. He's the Christ. He's told those disciples, do not leave Jerusalem. Do not command you. I command you, do not leave Jerusalem. You need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Well, if they need it, do we need it? Do we need him? Do we need the Holy Spirit? I'll tell you today, don't leave home without him. Truth is, you can't leave home without him because he is everywhere. But are you aware of that? That's the big question. Are you in contact with the Holy Spirit, or is he just there? Jesus said, you will receive power, the dunamis power of healing and virtue, when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And because of that power, he said, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem. That'd be where they were, in Judea, the surrounding area, Samaria, and even the ends or the uttermost part of the world. So it was Jesus' plan that they would stay right there, receive the power of the Holy Spirit, and then began to go out. So let's take a quick little trip over here to the Gospel of John, the 14th chapter now. John 14, that'd be back to the left just a hair. We're in Acts 1. We're going back to John 14. Let's pick it up in verse 10. And I'm going to actually read this to you from the Passion Translation Bible, because it's just, man, it does it really, really plain. I mean, I like them all. I like King James. I like NIV. I love the Word of God.
Amen.
Sometimes we read multiple translations. Some people don't think that there is any other translation besides the King James. I kind of get where you come from, but you need to go study your history and find out that the King James is a translation of a translation. It was given to us to put the Bible in modern contemporary English so that all the common people could understand it, because it was translated by King James of England in 1611, and that's how people spoke in 1611. We don't talk like that anymore. They use words we don't even know what they mean if we don't get a dictionary. So let's read the Bible in a way that we can understand it, because that's why God gave it to us. So John 14, I'm going to pick it up in verse 10 when I find it. Verse numbers in this translation, a little bit small. Okay, Jesus said this, "Don't you believe that the Father is living in me and that I am living in the Father? Even my words are not my own, but they come from my Father, for he lives in me and performs his miracles through me." It's the Father living in me. He's the one that does the works. That's what Jesus is saying. He says, it's not me by myself. It's the Father living in me. He said this, "Believe that I live as one with my Father and that my Father lives as one with me, or at least believe because of the mighty miracles I've done." Verse 12. "I tell you this timeless truth. The person who follows me in faith, believing in me, will do the same mighty miracles that I do. Even greater miracles than these, because I go to be with my Father." You know, Neva, week before last when I stopped by to visit with Jonathan, one of the things that I thoroughly enjoyed my visit with Jonathan because he loves the Lord, mm-hmm. and he is a student of the Word of God, and, you know, and we just, iron sharpens iron. We just visited and just loved on the Lord together and testified of his goodness and spoke of the Word, one of the things that I share with Jonathan was on our trips to Honduras, I share with him some of the testimonies, like the man at Spain City when we went out into the crowd and laid hands on that man who had a big cancer tumor in his stomach, mm-hmm. and how he literally looked pregnant. We laid hands on that man, and on my hand, it literally felt as if that thing kicked like a baby or something to me. In my mind, that's the way I interpret it. Mm-hmm. But then that thing just went and just went in. And we went back to Spain City a year later, mm-hmm. and that man came running up to us, throw his arms around me, starts speaking in Spanish. He's so excited, I got to get an interpreter. Carolina, come here a minute, you know. And it's like he said that you prayed for him on the soccer field last year, Spain City, and his doctors, now he's completely whole. He's completely well. All the cancer is gone. You know, we celebrated that. We celebrated that, you know, and many, 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 many miracles. Many miracles. You say, well, yeah, but that's on the mission field, you know, and that's a foreign country. Well, I don't know about you, but I've looked around my neighborhood. My neighborhood looks like a mission field.
Amen.
Because on Sunday morning, you don't see everybody coming out of their houses, headed to church with their Bible tucked under their arm, waving at their neighbors. Hey, neighbor, nobody has to lock their house. Listen, we need revival in America.
Amen.
America is a mission field. Don't think it's not. If there is a difference between foreign missions and missions here, the biggest difference is that people sometimes in the foreign missions, I've been to Haiti and Honduras, desperation. Desperation draws the anointing of God. Now, I know people here in the United States of America get desperate. And you know what? That desperation, we need to, it needs to be desperation combined with expectation. Neva's heard this. When we go down there to Honduras on mission trips, and I can't wait to get to go again. Our way's been paid for like 2 years, and we've been waiting for the lights to turn green, I guess, you know, COVID restrictions to be lifted and things to come into line. But when we go down there, it's like, you know, people will testify, well, when we knew the Americans were coming, and if you pay your own way to come here, and when you come here, you don't take anything from us, you don't ask offerings of us, you actually bring money, give it to our churches. We bless the churches when we go. We take food, we take money, we bring our presents, we pay for everything ourselves, we bless our hosts. It is a give, give. We're on the give, 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 but we're also receiving. But when those people, when they perceive, it's like, man, you paid your own way, you don't ask for anything, God must have sent you. I mean, why else would you leave? Some of them perceive America to be in the promised land, or at least they did a few years ago. They may not anymore. They may be going, man, let's pray for America. You know, I don't know. But there are a lot of them still trying to get here, aren't they? So it must be a pretty good place to be. But they was perceived, why would you leave the comfort and the cushion of America where you don't literally need anything? That's their perception. And come here. Spend your own time and money, come here. And they think, man, it must be God. And because of that belief that God sent you to me, their expectation level is way up here. But I'm going to tell you this. You can expect water all you want to, but if you go to an empty well, you're not drinking water.
That's right.
When the people around us, if they know that we're followers of Christ, and they should know that. I love wearing Christian T-shirts, but I shouldn't have to wear a Christian T-shirt for people to know I'm a Christian. Mm-hmm. Right? They ought to be able to perceive it. If they're around us a little bit of time at all, even if we don't talk about it, which I feel like we should talk about the Lord in everything. I don't care what it is. Somebody talk about the weather. You know, they say, oh, man, the weather. Like today here in Oklahoma, we've had a reprieve, a break from this intense heat that we've been having. We got a little bit of rain. So if somebody mentions the weather to you today, they say, oh, boy, the weather, you know, like Saturday, it's supposed to be like 83 degrees for the high. You know what your response could be? Well, praise God. He is answering prayer. Mm-hmm. So you just brought God into the topic. Now, You got him there. Here's the question. Are you a well that people can get a drink of Jesus from? I want to say this. If the Holy Spirit is not filling you, they're not going to drink Jesus. They don't drink you. And you might be a really nice person, but you're not Jesus. Mm-hmm. I'm not Jesus. I promise you this. You take the Holy Spirit's influence out of my life, you wouldn't even want to know me. Mm-hmm. Come on. And Monica goes, and that's the truth. She's speaking for her, me, all of us. I guarantee it's the truth. Like if I feel prompted of Holy Spirit, like if I'm at the gas pumps or something and I see maybe the Holy Spirit prompt me to pay for someone's gas, he's done it numerous times. If you see some, you know, one day I saw this young mom. She's struggling with her car. She's got little kids in a car, and they're crying, and she's trying to get the gas pump to work, and her card ain't working. And it doesn't matter to me why her card wasn't working. The Holy Spirit prompted me to pay for her gas. I thought I might get off with maybe like $20 worth. The Lord says, you fill it up. Okay, Lord. Fill it completely up. She's like, oh, thank you so much. Oh, we've been going. She starts telling me about what they've been going through, right? I said, listen, don't thank me at all, because I promise you this. I said, I promise you this. If Jesus didn't love you and Holy Spirit didn't prompt me, I would not be doing this. Mm-hmm. I would not be buying you gas. I don't go around buying people gas. But the Lord himself prompted me through his Holy Spirit to buy you this gas because he loves you and he cares about you. See, when you do something for somebody, that's how you need to point them to Jesus. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen.
And it is the truth. I would not be buying her gas without the Holy Spirit's influence. Because I don't buy gas, or I don't pick up people and give them rides. I don't do anything like that unless I know the Holy Spirit wants me to do it.
That's right.
And even then, sometimes he's got to convince me. Are you sure, Lord? The point that I'm trying to make is, in order to be the witness that Jesus wanted us to be and wants us to be in Acts 1, we've got to be filled with the Spirit of God. Now, I'm not saying you've got to be Pentecostal, that you've got to walk around. You know, when people, and I say Pentecostal, a lot of people go, oh, Pentecostal, why don't they pray in a tongue all the time, just talking in tongue all the time. All right, there are people who have known me for a long, long time that have never heard me pray or talk in tongues. Now, there are a lot of people that have, because that's part of my life, because it's biblical and it's what Jesus gave me as a gift, and he offered it to all of us. But those disciples, he said this, he said, listen, don't leave Jerusalem, because you got to have the power to, in order to be my witnesses. And then in John's gospel, where we're reading, Jesus began to tell them about the Holy Spirit and what the Holy Spirit's going to do for them. And, here's what Jesus said. He said, you need to understand, it's not me doing this. It's the Holy Spirit. He said, it's the Father living in me who does the works. I don't even speak on my own. In other words, the Father gives me the words to say, and he gives me the actions to do. At one point, he said, I only do what I see my Father doing. See. Well, I wonder how Jesus saw the Father healing the leper. Why did Jesus reach out his hand and touch the leper instead of standing back and speaking the word? Because when Jesus was being led of the Holy Spirit, a picture came into his mind. He saw himself touching that leper. That leper probably hadn't been touched by a human being in a long time. That touch probably meant more to that leper than anything in his life for a long, long time. Because Jesus was not afraid to touch him, and he needed a touch. He didn't just need healing, he needed a touch. He needed a physical contact with love himself. And Jesus did it that way because Holy Spirit showed him to. Jesus said this, whoever believes in me, the works I do, they'll do also, and greater works. That's John 14:12. Now, that's in your Bible. It's in my Bible. It's in everybody's Bible. It's in the King James Version. It's in the NIV Version. It's in the Passion Version. It may say it a little bit differently, but it says it, and it's real clear. It says that if you're a Christian, if you're a follower of Jesus, a believer in Jesus, a born-again person, that the same things that Jesus did, going about preaching the kingdom of God, healing the sick, casting out devils, that's the things that you ought to be doing. How about if we were to take a poll of how many people sitting in churches, even Living Waters Church? If we were to take a poll, how many of you sitting in this church have ever laid hands on someone and the Lord healed them? Let's see your hands if you've ever done that. I bet there'd be a lot of people go, I got to go right now. Sorry. I'm not able to participate in this poll. And sometimes it's the pastor's fault, even in my case, because we don't teach people to expect that this is how God wants to use you. You're a believer. God wants to use all of the believers to be his witnesses for him, not just preachers. It's not just preachers that can pray for the sick. There are some preachers that don't even know they can pray for the sick. But it's not just preachers. It's anyone who is a follower of Jesus. He said, the works I do, they'll do also. And even greater works. You say, how could I do a greater work than Jesus did? You could invite someone to receive the resurrected Jesus as Lord and Savior of their life and become born again. Because he couldn't do that. He didn't die on a cross yet. So what I want to point out is this. Jesus told us that we ought to receive the gift of the Father so that we can do the works and be the witnesses he wants us to be. What if every Christian on this planet went around doing what Jesus did? What would COVID have looked like during that time? What would, you know, your people being diagnosed, they would, instead of receiving a diagnosis as a death sentence, they would receive a diagnosis as an opportunity for God to be glorified. Just food for thought. And on that note, maybe we ought to pray for some people. We probably have some prayer requests. I would be willing to guess, without even seeing them, that we're going to pray for healing. We're probably going to wind up praying for comfort for someone who's passed on. It's predictable, isn't it? Because these are things that we have to pray about. And a lot of times, honestly, we need to be able to release the power of God in these situations. So let's take our faith before the throne room of God. Amen.
Amen.